chapter number 1. Thank you for bearing with me through that. Thank you for your help, deacons and everybody. Philippians chapter number 1 is where we're going to be this evening for a few minutes. So I was praying the other morning with my wife and trying to get the Lord's direction on what to preach. In the middle of our prayer, he just laid this on my heart, and as we've been since then, it's been coming up quite a bit in conversation, and I thank the Lord for his help as we look in Philippians chapter number 1, and I'm going to start in verse number 21 and go through verse number 25, and I've got another piece of scripture in Acts that I'm going to go to. It's going to be Acts chapter 3 later on, but we're going to go through this little section here first. I'm going to read this portion of scripture, and then I'm going to pray, and then we'll go on with tonight's service. The scripture says in Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 21, a simple statement by Paul, For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart, and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for the furtherance and joy of faith. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we sure do love you. And Lord, we just thank you for this evening that you've given us. Lord, thank you for your help with the business meeting. Lord, thank you for the church that's come tonight. And Father, I pray right now that you just help me. Lord, settle me down. Lord, I pray that just get my flesh out of the way, Lord, and use me as a vessel that you've called me to be. Father, help us tonight as only you can. Father, I pray that you bind Satan, Lord. Let there be no hindrances tonight. Lord, I need liberty. And Father, I pray that from you. And Father, we just pray that the message tonight just fall on open ears and soft hearts tonight, Lord. That our people could use it and be encouraged by it. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul writes this letter to the Philippians from a jail cell, as we see most of his, a lot of his writings did come from the jail cell. And interesting in Philippians, I read this and I see him, he's in a place here in his life where I preached a message one time that was Paul's predicament. And he's going through a place in his life here that he's writing to the Philippians, and he just starts out with this thing. He's in jail, and he's like, you know, I sure would like to go be with the Lord. It'd be good. And he's just going back and forth with this, but I'm here, and I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing here, but I just want to go be with the Lord. And I'll just start out with this and say that whenever I look at this, what I want to bring out tonight, it's not about me, and it's not about you, but it's about Christ. Right. And if you're going to hear me say that a lot through this, but that's what I wanted to bring out. It's where we need to keep our focus. It's not about me, and it's not about you, but it's about Christ. Amen. Paul starts out in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. He says, For to me to live is Christ. And I know that this is very familiar to you, but you know, the life that you breathe is by Christ. He allows it all. He can take it away from us. He can give it to us. He's got that power to do that. Christ knows all. Christ sees all. He allows all. Everything that goes on, it's already been said in prayer. Nothing takes him by surprise. Paul's in prison here. He's dealing with a hard situation. And he says, to live is Christ. He says, by Christ, given by Christ. He says, but to die is gain. He says, dying to Christ is gain. Dying and being with Christ is definitely gain. He says, the life that I live is for Christ. Whenever I look back just a page, he says in verse number 4-6, always in every prayer of mine to the Philippians, for you all making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. He says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The work that Christ does within us, whenever I was reading this, it's an ongoing process. It never stops. If we'll let it, if we'll let the Holy Spirit work in us and grow us and use us throughout our life, if we look to him, it's a never-ending process. Paul says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The fellowship that we have with one another, the Christian growth that we have. In verse number 22, Paul says of chapter number 1, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. And as I read of that, I thought, you know, what a testimony Paul has. When we think about people, and we say it a lot, that people are known by their fruits. My wife and I were talking about it today. She said, I shouldn't have said that. I said, well, it's their fruit. I said, it's nothing that you shouldn't have said. I said, that's what they're outward showing. That's what comes out in their life is their fruit. And I started looking at Paul's fruit in here. He says, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. What is the fruit of his labor? For to me, to live is Christ. And I thought about what would be wonderful if some people looked at each one of us and said, you know, there's a true Christian. You can see every time you're around them, I don't mean that we don't get as a Christians in bad moods, but they can see Christ in the things that we do. And, you know, they ask you, why do you do that? Well, it's pleasing to the Lord to do that. Just to do certain things, whether it be helping one another or just menial tasks that we do every day. Stop and do something for somebody else. Acts of selflessness. Paul's testimony here, I thought, what's your fruit? What do people look at you and see? Do they see Christ in your life? I hope they see Christ in me. I hope they see Christ in my wife when she's out. That's what we pray every morning whenever, if we go out that day, if we have things to do, I always pray, Lord, just keep us ever mindful that somebody see Christ in us. Because with that, there's no help, no telling whose life you're going to impact just by your personal actions, by letting Christ flow out of your everyday walk, your talk, your actions each and every day, especially with your attitude each and every day. Paul says, my fruit is Christ. But he says here, what I shall choose, I wot not. He doesn't have knowledge of. And I'll tell you, a lot of times we look at the things in life and we just don't have a knowledge of why things go on, what things are happening, why they're happening in our lives, whatever it might be, with our jobs, at work, with our family, with our kids. We don't know why, but there is one that does have knowledge, and it's Jesus Christ. He knows all. He sees all, just as I said a few minutes ago. And if we look to him, he's got our backs through it, if you'll turn to him through everything that we go through. Paul says, I don't have knowledge of what's going on. And he says, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Paul's in prison. That's a bad place to be. And he's still thinking, how am I going to be used to God? He's writing his letters to get out. That's how God's using him right now as he's in prison. But he said, I'm in a strait betwixt the two. He said, I don't want to be here, but I think I need to be here. I sure would like to be with Christ, he's having a struggle here. It's defined as a strait, a situation of perplexity or distress. He's got a struggle going on here, and he doesn't know what to do. He's like, you know, I really want to, and I hear it all the time, you know, I wish the Lord to come right now. I just wish the Lord to come right now. And I'm thinking, well, if he's not done, are we seeking his will? It's not about you and it's not about me. It's about Christ. We need to be looking to him for what he wants us to do for this very day. And I tell that to people all the time. I said, let's not worry about tomorrow. We need to make plans. But I said, let's not be too concerned about tomorrow. Let's take care about today and what goes on today with everything that we do. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Christ and exonerating and glorifying him. Paul's going through a struggle here. I got a blessing out of this morning. The school lesson that I taught this morning was just why we struggle. Actually, I taught it Monday morning, and I just got it edited and formatted today and uploaded. And it was a lesson for the schools just called Why We Struggle. And it was an interesting little thing. I could relate back to Paul's scripture here with that. It had a part in there about how a butterfly emerges from the capsule that it's in. It's not a cocoon. It's a harder thing that it has to get out of. I always thought that, you know, the silky little cocoons were real easy to get out of. But the chrysalis, thank you, Jesus, the chrysalis that the butterfly has to come out of is a hard thing. And as I was going through that lesson and teaching that lesson, there were some things that just jumped out at me. It's a brand new lesson that we've just put in the schools this year, using in the schools this year. But some things that jumped out at me is like, you know, something so beautiful comes out of the hardest struggle. The chrysalis is a hard shell that butterfly has to emerge out of. There was a guy one day that wanted to see what would happen with this chrysalis. He just gathered it up and took it home. And he saw the butterfly starting to come out of this chrysalis, this hard casement that it was in. And as this butterfly emerged out of this chrysalis, it got about halfway out and it stopped. And the guy just started watching, and he kept watching, and he kept watching, and he kept watching. Well, it's kind of like whenever somebody helps break an eggshell to get the chick out. He gets a little pair of scissors and he starts to cut the chrysalis to help the butterfly out. Of course, the butterfly, just in a few minutes, made its way out of the chrysalis, but the wings on the butterfly were very shrunken, and the body of the butterfly was real big. Now, he kept waiting for the body of the butterfly to shrink and the wings get bigger so it would look like a butterfly that you and I see every day, but it never did. What he realized later on is that the struggle that butterfly has to go through to get through that chrysalis by itself, it forced enzymes out of the body of the butterfly into the wings so that its wings would form and develop and grow out the way they were supposed to, so it would be the beautiful creature that God created it to be. And I thought about that thing, and I thought, you know, a lot of times we go through stuff, like Paul, go through struggles. I hope we go through them, because I truly believe that there's another part of that lesson that said we can either, with these struggles that we go through, we can either get better or get bitter. You go through a storm by not stopping in the middle of it. You just keep going. That struggle that butterfly had, it had to go through that to be what God had created it to be. And I know we're going to, it doesn't matter how old you are here, because I know I'm pretty old and I still go through struggles. You young people that are in here, you're going to go through struggles too. But we just go through them. You don't stop in them and get stuck. You don't get better. I mean, you don't get bitter, but you get better through them. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Christ sees everything. He knows everything. Paul's in a struggle here. But I enjoyed that lesson about that butterfly, and it helped me understand, you know, the struggles that I go through, and I go through them, God sees them. God knows them. It's not about me. It's not about you. But it's about Christ. I've learned to turn things over to him and just wait and try to work through them with Christ, not get impatient, and just wait on him. And I've learned wonderful things come out of that. Paul says this, I'm in a strait betwixt the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far, far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. A lot of times we just look at self. And it's easy to do because we're with ourselves 24/7. But acts of selflessness, Paul says here, I'm in a strait betwixt the two. I'm having a hard time with this. I want to be with Christ. I don't want to be here, but I realize that being in the flesh here is more needful for you. Well, Paul's saying, I need to be here for my brothers and sisters. I need to encourage them. I need to help them. He's writing some wonderful letters to the people outside of prison to try to encourage them and help them. He also says, having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you for the furtherance and joy of the faith. It's not about me, it's not about you, but it's about Christ. I want to give you a little example here of that joy of the faith back in Acts chapter number 3, if I could for just a few minutes. Acts chapter number 3, a wonderful little piece of scripture. We probably went through this weeks ago, but I get a little blessing out of it about how we should keep our focus on Christ. I'm not just saying just for things every day. Every day, try to keep your focus on Christ. Why did Christ save us? It wasn't just to hide it. It was to be a light unto others, to be that salt and that light, to be the seasoning of the earth is what we're called to be as Christians. We're not supposed to hide it. But Paul says, for the furtherance of your joy, salvation in Christ. Acts chapter number 3 says, now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain lame man from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. This gentleman, as I go through this, I'm just going to expound a little bit on some stuff that's going on here and draw little parallels to your and I's life. Same old thing for this guy, day in, day out. Couldn't walk, couldn't get there by himself, couldn't hold a job because of his affliction. They had to take him and carry him there and laid him there every single day, day in and day out. Verse number 3 says, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms of him. That word just means to have pity on, to have mercy. There was a need in this man's life. He couldn't work. He had to eat. He had to provide for himself. But he couldn't do that physically. The only thing he could do was to ask for money for those going into the temple. They probably had a little bit on them. They were in there to maybe give an offering at the temple anyhow. So it was a good place, it seemed like, for him to hang out and just to ask for money. But have pity on me. Have mercy. There was a need there. Can I say, I know we don't have much like Peter and John here. We can't heal people. But the greatest thing that we can give somebody is just to tell them about Christ. It's not about me, it's not about you, but it's about him with everything. Just to tell somebody about Christ. verses 4 and 5, it says, "And Peter, fasting his eyes upon him with John, said, 'Look on us.' And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them." He's like, "Oh, well, I'm going to get an offering out of them. This is going to be good." If someone's not looking, can I say this for Christ? They're not going to hear you. They're not going to listen. Don't beat it into it. This man was looking for something. And can I say there's lots of people out there that are looking for something to fulfill their lives? I mean, you look at the things in the world today that people are doing. I was one of them. I mean, before I got saved, I was putting everything in my life, in me, just to try to have satisfaction and fulfillment. I didn't realize that hole that I was trying to fill could only be filled by Jesus Christ. But I do want to say this, that if someone doesn't want to listen, they're not gonna. We can't beat it into them. We just need to take it as they don't want to hear it right now. We're seed slingers. That's what we are. The scripture tells us that some's going to fall on stony ground. The ravens are going to pick some of it up, and some of it's going to fall into good ground. But we need to have the right attitude each and every day, a Christ-like attitude. But we can't beat the gospel into somebody. It just doesn't work. So, but if they're looking, they will hear you and they will listen. This man feast, he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. It says that, "And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up. Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk.'" And I thought it was interesting that they put this little piece of scripture in here that says, "And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up." Now, I got to studying this out because some things in the Bible that you read, you're like, "Huh, that's a quirky little place to stick that in there." Just little things that pop out at you. The Lord will show you certain things here and there in the Bible if you're praying and asking, "Lord, feed me from it." It's one of those, why do you grab him by the right hand? And why'd they have to put it in the scripture? And I was like, what? There's got to be more to this. A lot of things I'll look at and I'll see that and I'll go to dig it out and the Lord says, "Not right now." And I can't make hide or hair of it. It doesn't make any sense at all. And it never did. But some things the Lord lets me see, and it's just a blessing, just what I needed for that day. When I started looking up and why it said lift him up by the right hand, it's defined when I looked at that as transferring a greater blessing to somebody. It's not about me, it's not about you, but it's about Christ. Transferring a greater blessing into somebody that's looking for Christ. I'm going somewhere. Hang on just a minute. Just bear with me. Verse 8 says, after he was transferred this greater blessing, lifted him up by the right hand, he leapt up, stood, walked, entered into the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. I want to take you back, some of you many years ago, some of you not that long ago. I'm one of those people that I can't remember the day and the date. I don't remember the time. But I think all of you can remember that place that you leapt up and praised God for saving your soul. If you're here today and you're not saved, or if you're listening to this and you're not saved, it's the greatest blessing you'll ever receive. It's not necessarily a cakewalk afterwards. We're still in life. We're still in the flesh. But here's the thing. I want you to go back to that time. Can you remember it? I know exactly where I was. Like I said, I don't remember the day. I don't remember the date. I don't remember the time. But I can see that tacky bed cover that was my grandma's, that was orange and green, on that bed that I was laying in when I accepted Christ as my Savior. I can remember what this man is expressing here in the scripture. That next morning when I woke up, I got up, I leapt up, and I was praising God for what had happened that night. How could we not share that with people? And I'm not talking about just, you know, of course, you don't have to be a great theologian. You can just tell them what Christ did for you, but just each and every day with our attitudes, with our actions, with our speech. Because it's not about me and it's not about you, but it's about Christ. I can remember that time that he lifted me up. Don't lose that joy in your life. Remember that. It makes witnessing easier. It makes talking about Christ easier. A lot of times we get so caught up in things we forget about that. He leapt up, had strength in the Spirit of God, praising for what he had done. It says, and they were all filled. Let me go down through here. Verse 9 says, and the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened to him. You know, there's a great change that happens in people when they get saved. I know there wasn't me. When I leapt up and jumped up and praised God for what he had done in my life, there's a change in people when you get saved. Verse 11 says this, and it's a lame man which was healed. And here's another one of those little interesting things. He held Peter and John, and the people ran together into them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. I realize this man that just got healed held on to the godly people that were around him. It encouraged me, and I encourage you, Christians need to hold on to Christ-like brothers and sisters. If there's a time, there's always a time. We don't need to be around and hanging on to the worldly people. And I know we're all around them each and every day. But I'll tell you, this man just went through something, saved. But he's hanging out and hanging on to the godly people. And I thought about what a blessing that was, that it encourages us during our times who we need to be spending our time with. But I also want to encourage you to do this. If you've got somebody around that maybe a new convert, as this man's getting ready to be, you know, just be there for your brothers and sisters in Christ, whatever it might be. He held on fast. It's not about me. It's not about you. But it's about him, about Christ. I'm going to go back to Philippians just for a few minutes as I finish this up. And get back to our Philippians chapter number 1. Paul finishes those earlier verses. Philippians chapter number 1. Paul says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, that I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. As we wrap this up today, I understand there's a lot that's going on around us that just seems to be in turmoil. I'm not just talking about, I'm talking about the world. The way people are acting anymore, the things that's going on in our state, in our nation, in the world, with people's morals and ethics and just everything that goes on around us. It's just, the world's in a mess. And I know that you and I can't change the world. I know that. But I know who can. I know who can change everything. Christ can. And it's up to us to let his light shine in our lives so others can see him through us. Be honest with you, we know we can't change a whole lot that goes on out there. But what we can do is help and spread the gospel wherever we are, whether it be at work, at school, on the job, in our house, parents with kids. It's up to us to let his light shine in our lives so others can see him through us. Because it's not about me, and it's not about you, but it's about Christ and letting his light shine. Father, we sure do love you. Lord, I thank you for your help. Lord, it was scattered. Lord, I hope it'd be a blessing to somebody tonight. Father, I thank you for your help, Lord, during the business meeting, and I thank you for, Lord, your help just now. And Lord, help us in the days ahead in this world, and help us to stand strong for Christ. Help us to win souls. Help us to be that light, Lord, to a lost and dying world that we need to be. And Father, we sure do love you. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.